you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-700-1843. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-1843. That's 1-800-700-1843. 1-800-700-1843.
I want to let you in on a secret. Flipping apartments and duplexes is easier and more profitable than flipping single-family homes. Yes, the art of buying and selling duplexes, fourplexes, eightplexes, or bigger is easier and more profitable than trying to flip a rundown house in a bad neighborhood. Come spend time with John Dessauer and his team, the nation's leading multi-unit apartments experts, and we'll show you how to put tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket over the next 90 days with no money down, no credit, and no risk. Call 800-982-5570 to secure your seat at one of the three convenient dates in the Dallas area. You'll learn how to buy, hold, and sell multi-unit apartments with no money down, no credit, and no risk. This seminar is worth thousands of dollars, but free to the first 30 people to call. You risk nothing but have everything to gain. Call 800-982-5570 to secure your seat. This class is free to the first 30 people to call. Change your life now and learn the art of the multi-family flip with no money down. Call 800-982-5570 to secure your seat. That's 800-982-5570. You don't want to miss this. Call now.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa. I got the perfect Mother's Day gift. Now, I know what you're all thinking. You ain't got to be a female to be a mother. Anybody who snores night after night after night, that's a real mother. And you don't want to be that kind of mother. So what you want to do is get this fixed. Go to Zipa.com. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. Order Zipa and get this fixed. Because the only real mothers should be the ones that give birth to children. So this Mother's Day, you need to make a change. What you need to do is get off your rear end, take your little fingers, and poke in the numbers ZYPPAH.com. Zipa.com. I'm starting an anti-snoring movement. We have to keep our eye on the prize here to end snoring. We're taking back our country. Go to Zipa.com, get a Zipa, and stop snoring. And remember, let's make sleeping great again.
Hi, I'm Jeff Stewart with Reliant Air Conditioning. In the last month, we've saved our customers over $400,000. How'd we do it? With our exclusive partnership with your utility provider, we get to offer rebates of up to $1,800 when you replace that old AC system. When you combine that with Carrier's Cool Cash savings of up to $3,500 on a new Infinity system, we're talking saving over $5,000 on a brand new AC system that can cut your electric bill in half. We also have 36 months free financing, but you'll have to hurry. Only 25% of the utility funds remain, so we're scheduling our free estimates on a first-come, first-served basis. So call now. Better yet, call two other companies first, and then call Reliant Air Conditioning, and you'll see how we've been gimmick-free since 83. Call 877-YOUR-HERO. That's 877-968-7437, or online at ReliantAirConditioning.com.
Reliant Air Conditioning. Call 877-YOUR-HERO.
Hi, folks. Bill Thomas here with Accurate Foundation Repairs. If you think your home has foundation issues, we'll send one of our highly trained technicians out to give you a free, accurate assessment of your home's foundation at no charge. Accurate Foundation Repair is the only company in the industry that has its warranty backed up by a third-party insurance company. Structure Home Warranty. Call Accurate Foundation Repair now, 972-623-2500, or on the web at AccurateFoundationRepair.com.
Accurate Foundation Repair. We give you a lift for the home.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers.
It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
There's a battle going on for the heart and soul of America, and the right side must win. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. On Ladies Can we talk truth about America and why it matters to you. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello, good evening, and welcome. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Thanks so very much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. Folks, if anyone has missed it, in this most recent week, in this GOP primary, we have apparently gotten to the point we have a presumptive GOP nominee, Donald Trump. And I want to spend a couple segments talking tonight about what that means for the election cycle, what that means for America, and what you do when you're an active, passionate conservative trying to speak up for America. You know, this show, Ladies Can We Talk, is always about the idea of trying to relearn or learn again why America is exceptional, and to encourage people to embrace the exceptional identity of America. Well, one of the reasons we have talked about in America why our country is exceptional, and it's among the many reasons, but we set up a system to allow the people to govern themselves. We have elections where we actually choose the people who are then making the laws, and this is at the federal level and the state level. So in this GOP primary, we started out with 17 candidates running for the GOP to become the nominee for the GOP. And, you know, and then there was one. We're down to apparently one now. And this most recent week when Senator Ted Cruz, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and then Ohio Governor John Kasich dropped out. And so we're down with Ted Cruz. And I want to spend this segment, this is my Speak Up for America segment, to talk about a real focus on why any of us are involved in political activity. And, you know, it's easy. I think some people get in politics and they get passionate because, and I have the three P words I want to talk about. Some are simply passionate about a person. They simply love a certain candidate or a family member or someone they've always admired. So they latch on to a person. Some people are all about the party. Whatever, if you're Republican, whatever the GOP stands for, or whoever's a nominee, that's my guy. I'm going with that guy. And I think the highest level thinkers are involved in politics due to principles, actual ideas. And what I try to talk about in the show and what will really perpetuate America's greatness for centuries to come is people grasping the principles that are underlying America and insisting to the best of our ability to keep those principles in place. Well, you know, there's one that's kind of an unspoken principle, but I want to mention something that happened in this primary cycle that is just a deeply troubling thing. Now, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I understand there's been dishonesty and deception in politics since time began. But this particular election cycle had one aspect that was very, very troubling. And that was, and I'll back up and tell you, you should, if you haven't done it, read a little story that came out this week, and it's been talked about on the internet a lot, about the famous baseball player Ty Cobb. I remember reading about him as a child. He was this great, fabulous baseball player. But then after he died, and he had all these great stories about things about his life, but it's not relevant here. After he passed on, he had all these great records, but someone wrote a novel about him and accused him of being racist, having attacked black people and beat them up, having sharpened the cleats in the bottom of his shoes so that he would deliberately tear up the hands of people as he was sliding in. He was just painted as evil, awful guy. And I remember reading about that, not reading the book, but reading about Ty Cobb, and he was derided for decades until a most recent biography uncovered that all of that was a lie. Whatever reason the biography had to say about Ty Cobb, he had tried to destroy this man's reputation. And the reason to talk about this tonight is a lie told over and over and over and over sinks into the American people as the truth unless it is refuted. So back to our GOP election cycle. This time we had who's apparently going to, is the presumptive nominee, Donald Trump, with a close ally who runs the National Enquirer newspaper that printed lie after lie after lie after lie after lie about Donald Trump's opponents. Now, as I say, people lie in politics. It's happened since the beginning of time. But it was especially egregious in this election cycle, and something I don't think conservatives should take lightly. Because what happened, the lies intended, for example, early on in the primary, when it appeared that Dr. Ben Carson might be getting ahead of Donald Trump, the National Enquirer ran some ridiculous story about his having been a horrible doctor and having, in some way hurt someone and destroyed their life through botched surgery. Complete fabrication, just made it up. But in the most recent time, when this was a real conservative, this was a real race coming down to Donald Trump or Senator Ted Cruz, and Senator Ted Cruz was gaining ground, the National Enquirer ran story after story about just complete lies, things about he had affairs, not true, and no proof, never any proof, but they just ran it. And then they had the stories that related to apparently this ridiculous story that Ted Cruz's dad, Rafael Cruz, is somehow connected to the JFK assassination and to Lee Harvey Oswald. And I mention all this to say this. What happened after those stories ran was that not only did Donald Trump repeat them and throw them out and talk to people as though they were real, but he, after Senator Cruz got out of the race, Donald Trump acknowledged, yeah, I knew it wasn't really true. I just said it anyway. Folks, this is a problem if we're lashed onto a person, Donald Trump, and look at that conduct and decide it's okay, because somehow we like him so much. If you're just lashed onto a person, you're accepting something pretty darn bad. We need to be in politics to talk about the principles underlying America, the greatness and goodness of America. And we need to continue as conservatives to fight, not for person, not for the GOP, but for the principles that made America great. When you come back after the break, we're going to talk about how much power women have in this election cycle to get our country back on track. Debbie Georgiadis, Ladies Can We Talk? Come back after the break.
You're listening to 660 AM, The Answer.
In a 1940s movie called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, she's married to a creepy guy who's trying to drive her insane so he can put her away and get access to her money. To do that, he misleads, mocks, and berates her to make her question what she sees, hears, and thinks. This gaslight tactic the creepy husband uses is used in today's politics. Mainstream Americans want border security and an end to sanctuary cities. But we're berated by politicians who say that if we think that, we're racist. Many Americans support traditional marriage, but we're told we're haters if we think that. Same on abortion. We either support it or we are part of the war on women. All of that is gaslighting, and it works when we are silenced by those who mock. Gaslighting shuts down free speech and thoughtful conversation. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk? We talk truth about America.
If you want to get at the issues that really matter for women and men, go to IWF.org. That's the Independent Women's Forum. IWF is all about increasing the number of American women who value free markets and personal liberty. IWF's motto is all issues are women's issues. They bring a fact-based approach to politics, policy, and culture. When the left tried to peddle a phony war on women, IWF shot back with facts and figures. American women aren't victims in need of ever-increasing government protection. And IWF doesn't think things are perfect, but they believe that individual liberty is the key to prosperity and fulfillment. Along with their sister organization, Independent Women's Voice, IWVoice.org, which is a leader in the fight against Obamacare, they offer policy papers, op-eds, and a popular blog on issues of the day. So visit IWF at IWF.org. That's IWF.org.
Hugh Hewitt breaks down who is voting for Trump.
He does not win well with the college-educated,
even high school degrees, actually,
and people who are doing okay in the new global economy. He does well with the Rust Belt, with older, white, middle-class, often disappointed with economic circumstances voters, and with a group of people who are fundamentally opposed to Washington, D.C.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings at 5, right before Mark Davis at 7, on 660 AM, The Answer.
Texans have a long tradition of independence, and we don't like being told what to do, especially by liberal bureaucrats 1,000 miles away. That's why for 30 years, the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation has fought Washington's efforts to take more of your money and freedom. IPI works every day to keep taxes low and freedom high, to promote free market healthcare, expand energy security, protect intellectual property, and combat onerous regulations that destroy American jobs. Politicians often talk smaller government, but then vote for more of it. By contrast, IPI has never veered from its mission to defend the Constitution and fight for freedom. If you want to be informed about free market policies and solutions, go to IPI's website and sign up. All of their information is free for sharing. Help IPI restore liberty and economic growth. Go to IPI.org today. That's IPI.org. One more time, go to IPI.org today.
In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, God says, "Write in a book all the words I've spoken to you." Is there a story in you today? Have you ever felt urged by God to write those words in a book? Zulon Press is the largest, most experienced Christian self-publisher in the world, and they're offering a free publishing guide at ChristianPublishingGuide.com. They've helped thousands of people just like you tell their stories and touch thousands of lives.
Share your story and find out more today at 660AMTheAnswer.com. Visit 660AMTheAnswer.com now.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM. The Answer.
Can you hear us? And welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk? This is Debbie Georgiatis. You know, that first segment, we're at a new clock on this show, Ladies Can We Talk? And the first segment is very short, and in fact, is the second hour also. And the first hour, first segment, I love to make just one real point, and I didn't get to it. I want to put an exclamation point on that, what I want to say, which is, the only lasting and satisfying reason to be involved in politics is to stand up for principle, is to stand up for ideas that matter. And so sometimes it may be, you know, you think that the GOP, if you're conservative, it more or less represents you. But the GOP has never been the party of conservatives. I mean, conservatism is a portion of the GOP. It's some of the people. But there are many people who vote Republican and would say would stand up for the GOP who aren't conservative. And, you know, and it matters how you define that term. But to me, the idea of being conservative is getting at the basic core building blocks that created America, the idea of separation of powers and limited government and all the things written in the Declaration of the Constitution. That's what will make you feel if you're involved in politics, motivated every day to get up, to keep on fighting, and sometimes recognizing the GOP is not going to be with you. And sometimes, frequently, they do not actually stand up and stand strong for conservative ideas. Well, if you get my weekly email, and we have a great weekly email that comes out from this show, and if you'd like to get that email, you can email me at ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. You saw one thing I said I wanted to talk about this week was the idea of what is the GOP's future? What can we unify around? Because right now there's a battle about should the GOP unify around Donald Trump? And we're going to talk about that, especially in the second hour, you know, what Paul Ryan has been saying, what Senator Ben Sasse has written down, you know, what there are serious conservatives still not willing to get on board with Donald Trump. And I understand that, and I don't actually refute it. And I think part of the problem is Donald Trump ran a campaign where he was not, I mean, he brought as much support from crossover Democrats, from never voters, from people that don't identify with Republican values. It's not that new people aren't welcome in the party, but is the party lost a sense of identity? And so going forward, what is going to be what is going to be important to being Republican? What is it going to mean to stand on the GOP side? And, you know, I've heard people, there was, in fact, a column written essentially saying millions of us feel we are strangers in our own party. We look at Donald Trump, we think, you know, he doesn't stand for much that I believe in at all. Now, he is conservative in some ways. He's a very much liberal in other ways. And so I think it's really helpful to step back from the immediate election cycle and how upset people may be if their candidate didn't win the GOP primary, and think about the long-term goal of perpetuating what America is supposed to be. And to that end, I want to mention to women, because I got interviewed a bunch this week on Fox News Radio about the question of what are women voters going to do with Donald Trump as the candidate? And it's a very valid question. I'll just give you some, just the first of all, the power of women in every election cycle. Women, as you may know, are the majority of voters in 2012. 53% of the total vote cast was cast by women. So, and in previous 2008, it was 55%. So women are well over half the voters. And generally speaking, women tend to vote Democrat. Just 2012, 55% of the women who voted in the presidential election voted Democrat. And in 2008, 56%. The point is, women have a lot of power politically in America. And at this point, Donald Trump, the presumptive presumptive Republican nominee, has the highest unfavorables of any candidate, I think, ever. And I'm going to tell you some numbers and why this matters so much. Nationwide, 67% of voters have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump. 91% of African Americans have a negative view of Donald Trump. 81% of Latino Americans, bad, unfavorable impression of Donald Trump. 75% of women and 74% of voters between the ages of 18 and 39. And I know that sounds glum and all that, but I want to talk about what we can do about that and what should we do about that. I have a hard time telling people, oh, no matter what, vote for the GOP. They're the best. Always vote GOP no matter what, because that's not really right. I mean, I want to vote on principle, and I actually understand why people are upset and concerned about Donald Trump's ascendancy in the GOP, given his unwillingness to stand behind many basic. In fact, right after it became clear he was going to be the presumptive nominee, in one day, he ran down four different policy positions, which pushed him more to the left. Ran down the idea he's going to say he's in favor now of increasing the minimum wage, which any intelligent economist, any conservative will tell you hurts poor people. He's pandering to low-income voters because they don't understand that raising the minimum wage will hurt them. He's pandering, and I think he knows it. He also came out that same day, announced his major fundraiser. He hired a fundraiser, and this is a guy, a former George Soros guy, a Democrat who's given lots of money to Hillary Clinton. And he also announced one of his stellar things in the primary was, well, I'm going to self-fund, no more of this self-funding thing. And the other last thing he came up with was, I'm going to raise taxes. So I think the actual America-loving conservative can't figure out what to do in this election cycle. And I think it's understandable. But I also want to say this. Sometimes you have to step back and not vote for whoever the people chose, because I don't feel responsible for whoever it is who chose Donald Trump. But I do know that I want America, I want to have the best chance going forward to keep America on the best track it can be. That track, if Hillary Clinton is elected to the presidency, we will have major trouble with the Supreme Court. I will say this, we know Hillary Clinton will nominate extremely left-wing judges. We hope that Donald Trump will listen to conservatives and nominate someone for the Supreme Court to replace Justice Scalia and perhaps others who are more conservative. With Hillary, we know it's a liberal. With Donald Trump, we can hope that maybe we'll get somebody good. So I got to tell you, in a whole host of issues, even though I don't agree with Donald Trump and didn't support him, I think it's not really, I don't tell people, go ahead and just vote for him because that's who the voters picked. But I will say, you got to vote for the country's future. You got to vote for the principles behind the party. And in this case, what you're really doing, you're voting against the person who is antagonistic to all GOP principles, which is Hillary Clinton. And, you know, going forward, I would also say women are a powerful force in the voting base. And I think that women ought to be outspoken through organizations, through your own connections in politics, to demand that the party stay on a conservative track. I think we women, GOP women, are smart voters. We have to be able to talk to our fellow GOP people and say, hey, look, you know, and because I'll tell you, Donald Trump has a terrible, terrible problem with women voters, mostly of his own doing. But we have to be, again, not about person or party, but about principle, that we have to stand for and push the ideas that are right and not let people get sidetracked by something he said about Megyn Kelly or anyone else. Recognize you got to stand with the principles that made this country great, which have to include keeping a limited government, keeping the things that only exist on the GOP side. Now, I got to tell you, I think that Senator Ben Sasse is doing a marvelous thing in encouraging people to rethink you know, don't just salute to the GOP. He's acknowledging the GOP and the Democrats are both in trouble here. And they may be. This election cycle may result in the fact that the GOP falls apart and then has to restructure itself. It may result in the creation of a third party. And in both cases, if either of those things were to happen, it's still the higher idea is, what do you do to preserve America? Because I think the GOP, if you want to know who's responsible for Donald Trump's ascendancy in this primary, it is people like John Boehner, Mitch McConnell. It is the GOP leadership in Washington that has failed the conservative GOP voting base that's caused so much anger toward Washington. And if they're upset about Donald Trump coming in the White House, they need to go look in the mirror to figure out who's responsible. So I would say it's a time for really patriotic activist conservatives to be drawn in. Don't get turned off by the political process. Don't get mad at the GOP and take your marbles and go home. Don't get mad about this race and stay home. Because if you're not participating, you know, the Democrats and liberals are going to participate. They may not like Hillary Clinton. They may find her nomination troublesome. They may not like a lot of things she's done, but they're going to show up in the fall. And, you know, this election cycle, I'll tell you, I've heard people from California say, I'm staying home. I don't like Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote. I hear people in Texas say that. But I got to tell you, in a lot of states, it won't matter. They're going to go GOP. They're going to go Democrat. But in the swing states where basically everything goes down, in the swing states that decide America's future, the difference last time, for example, in Colorado, between Obama and Romney, Obama won that state by slightly 1.5%. Florida, Romney only won there by 1.5%. My point is, in state after state that are swing states, a small number of people change things. And if enough GOP voters stay home because they're upset because they don't like Donald Trump, we're going to end up with Hillary Clinton. And regardless of what you think about Donald Trump or who you like in the primary, we're not going to like the direction America takes under Hillary Clinton. The highest idea of being a patriotic, rock solid, good voter in this election cycle may be just to vote against what Hillary Clinton's possible presidency. And I'll tell you something else. I think Donald Trump wants to be successful. He wants to have a successful presidency if he were to win. So I think we should give a chance to him to see what is he going to build now that he is apparently going to be the nominee. Give him a chance to see if he can be more conservative than he has in this race. Okay, we're heading off to a break. Coming back, we have Rebecca Hagelin. No, I'm sorry, we have Kathleen Hartnett-White, author of a new book coming out about fossil fuel energy. And America got started because some individuals were willing to speak up against King George. Political bravery then required they pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Today, political bravery requires speaking up for what is true and right on today's issues. We won't likely face violence, but we will face the weapons of mockery, name-calling, and scorn because of political correctness. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz said in one debate that it is offensive that those who believe people ought to come to this country legally are called anti-immigrant. He is right. I often say, speak up for America. What I mean is, speak up on the issues that matter and respond with strength and dignity to the bullies who try to shut down conversation. Speaking up matters because left unchallenged, the belligerent silencers win. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, where we talk about how to speak up for America. Do you ever feel like we live in kind of an upside-down world when you think about what the media is trying to sell us? When poll after poll says Americans never wanted Obamacare, do not want it now, and will never want it, why does our media try to tell us it's radical to try to repeal it and responsible to keep it? The truth is, it's radical to railroad through the nationalization of healthcare against the will of the American people, based on lie after lie by the president about being able to keep your doctor, keep your health insurance. And it was done with a legislative bill not one congressman or senator read before voting on it. It's irresponsible to do anything but repeal it. If you want a world that's more right side up, we need more truth-telling. And that's what we do on my show, Ladies Can We Talk? Join me, because truth matters. This is Debbie Georgiadis. On this show, we've been talking about the idea that Americans must reclaim the identity of America the components of the American dream. This American identity is made up of ideas, and these ideas are the reason that America is the most exceptional nation on earth. But to hold on to this American identity, we have to connect the dots between the ideas and today's policy choices. This American identity includes equal rights for everyone from our Creator, individual, not collective rights, equal application of the law, free markets and the entrepreneurial spirit, a strong connection between hard work and reward, private property rights, national unity around ideas and not ethnicity, and a rock-solid commitment to the freedom of religion, speech, and assembly. If we lose this American identity, we lose America. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM The Answer. We talk truth about America.
If you want to get at the issues that really matter for women and men, go to IWF.org. That's the Independent Women's Forum. IWF is all about increasing the number of American women who value free markets and personal liberty. IWF's motto is all issues are women's issues. They bring a fact-based approach to politics, policy, and culture. When the left tried to peddle a phony war on women, IWF shot back with facts and figures. American women aren't victims in need of ever-increasing government protection, and IWF doesn't think things are perfect, but they believe that individual liberty is the key to prosperity and fulfillment. Along with their sister organization, Independent Women's Voice, IWVoice.org, which is a leader in the fight against Obamacare, they offer policy papers, op-eds, and a popular blog on issues of the day. So visit IWF at IWF.org. That's IWF.org.
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer. Can you
hear us now? And welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georges, and so happy you joined me. I didn't get adequate time at the end of the last segment to introduce our guests in this segment, and I want to quickly tell you we do have her on the line. Her name is Kathleen Hartnett White. I've actually had her on the show at least once, I think twice before this, but she is truly one of the national experts relating to the use of energy policy and fossil fuels, and she's a distinguished senior fellow in residence and the director of the Armstrong Center for Energy and the Environment at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, one of the best think tanks in the country. And she has a new book coming out called, she's a co-author of, Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. I even like the title. Well, so hello, Kathleen.
How are you doing, Debbie?
I'm great. I'm so glad to have you. You know, honestly, the title seems like it should sell the book all by itself. But, you know, I know you co-authored this book with Stephen Moore. He's a chief economist at the Heritage Foundation and another great ally of conservatism. So I'd love if you would tell us what the point of this new book is. It's called Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. What were you and Stephen Moore writing about?
Well, we were writing about Steve and I become increasingly appalled at the magnitude of whether we call it the energy issue or the climate change issue or the global warming issue and the extent to which it's been really now, it's been going on and evolving for 30 years, but that it's now institutionalized in our rules promulgated by EPA in our country, in court decisions and across the world, it's the same. And it threatens the really foundation of what I would call modern, free, prosperous life. And there's so much about the history. We're the first living generations in all of mankind's history to enjoy lives swamped with man-made energy at every turn, and far beyond our cars and all our digital devices and all our convenient appliances in our homes. Those are all as a result of massive amounts of energy through endlessly creative conversions and devices. And the climate issue imagines that we can get rid of, not reduce by 10 or 20%, 80 to 90% reduction of fossil fuels, perhaps by 2030 or 2050, and there are no substitutes. And I think it's just our policy leaders at the highest national level and just the average person, I don't think they understand what's going on. Took me a long time to make this very serious conclusion, but we have. And the book is an attempt through history, through some kind of eighth grade science and in energy policy, environmental policy, to really lay this out. Indeed, we have the prospects for a brighter and brighter future because we've learned to eliminate or drastically reduce real environmental impacts. But the climate issue, the carbon dioxide issue, this has the magnitude of the impacts have really been overlooked.
You know, I remember one time, I just love that. And, I was realizing when you were speaking, it's almost an unfair question what I asked you, because the issue is so massive and has so many pieces to it. And I think that the average person not paying that much attention or wanting to indulge in reading a lot might just, they hear in the news enough, climate change is a problem and it's caused by fossil fuels and everyone, their brother, is talking up clean energy. So I love to start with that your book defends the amazing efficacy of fossil fuels in just bringing comfort, just lifting mankind out of reliance, living in cold and not having enough heat. In fact, I remember a story you told you one time I saw you at some conference. You were talking about how, a remote village in England that's way far from the city, because of fossil fuels, people in those remote areas, everywhere in the world, they are more likely to have access to medications, to fresh food, to everything they need because of the existence of fossil fuels to transport those things. I mean, it's lifted the poorest of poor to better and better living conditions.
And when we have reached, we in prosperous Western countries where freedom is enshrined, have reaped the greatest benefits, but it really has already lifted up basic human welfare across the world. In 1800 or 1850, which in the grand scheme of things, that's not too long ago. That might be my great-great-great-grandmother, maybe even my great-great-grandmother. The average lifespan was about 25 to 35. Those were the high ones in England. It's now three times that. The average income per capita across the world is an average, which includes all the still so, so poor countries in sub-Saharan Africa. The average income is increased 10 to 30%, and fossil fuels really played a necessary role. They weren't the only; they didn't cause it. They weren't the only thing, but they played a necessary role. When you could take a pound of cotton and spin it into cloth, and it would take you 30 minutes to do that with the mechanized devices fueled by fossil fuels, and it took 18 hours for somebody else, that changes everything. It means human beings are not so much like animals that are just beasts of burden and sources of muscle strength. It's opened up an entire new world that among these are material things we talk about. But think about just this. Think about time. We live three times longer, and that's an enormous gift. That's the gift of time. And we also spend far, far less time just providing food and clean clothes and all just the basic necessities that every human being in all of this planet's history has had to deal with. We've been liberated, and we can use that extra time for, I don't know, we can waste it, or we can use it to play poker, or we can use it to study physics, or we can use it to learn how to dance.
Become an Olympic skier, yeah.
Yeah, we can choose. We can choose choice. Before the Industrial Revolution, which was the first time fossil fuels were really harnessed, it was the first time that a middle class emerged. You didn't just have the super rich and all the rest of us that just, used our bodies like a horse or an ox to provide all the energy benefits to everyone else. And at the moment, the crucial thing about, and I appreciate your comment and question about, we hear this or that, and we've heard it so long, it's just now part of our cultural vocabulary. Climate change is dangerous and fossil fuels cause it. We don't have an alternative now that can anyway begin to produce the amount of energy and just all the energy services. The grand illusion of what I call the climate crusade is that renewable energies can get that job done, and they can't. They can't, and that is a matter of physics. They're intermittent. The wind speeds fluctuate by the minute. We still, after hundreds of billions of dollars of our money, subsidies from our government, and now have not even 5% from wind or solar or other renewables. And the climate crusaders think we're going to eliminate fossil fuels, not by 10 or 20%, but by 80 to 95%. We don't have an alternative. And to dismantle the energy systems and economic systems and social systems we have without an alternative is the madness that this book wants to expose.
So I want to make, you know, if you're the climate, if you're the person not all that informed and you hear that, well, climate change is a bad thing, your book will address, number one, the virtues and blessings that have benefited all of mankind through fossil fuels. It will also address the shortcomings in the alternative energy world and that, you know, they just, as you were saying a moment ago, they can't begin to supply adequate energy equivalent to fossil fuels have. But doesn't your book also get into the whole, it attacks a lot of the myths surrounding the supposed danger from CO2. And I'll tell you, I'm just checking the clock here. You have 30 seconds, but your book does get to the idea, I believe, that the fossil fuels aren't causing nearly the damage that the climate wackos claim, right?
Yes, and you don't have to be a climate scientist or a physicist to ask these questions. I encourage everybody. We are told that the science is absolutely settled, and we'll, unless we get rid of fossil fuels, we are in great danger. No true science is settled. No true science is settled. And the science that makes this claim originated from the United Nations about 30 years ago, was highly politicized by, at the source, the assumptions that are made in that science and then spewed out in models have failed to replicate what real temperature thermometers and what the most sophisticated technology of remote satellite sensing things. We need climate science. It's not that this is not an issue. Of course we should study it. But under the current system that's been going on for three decades under the United Nations, it's political and it's not at all as sophisticated as we need to further study this issue.
We're speaking tonight with Kathleen Hartnett-White, who is a friend. She's also the co-author of the new book, Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. Real quickly, where can people get your book, Kathleen?
They can go to Amazon.com and just Google Fueling Freedom.
It is the coolest book, and it's make you feel better about defending the normal use of fossil fuels. Kathleen, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
You too, Debbie.
Great talking. This is Debbie Georgette. Ladies, can we talk climate after the break? And we'll talk about whether or not Mitt Romney can secretly still run for president. I don't think so, but come back. I'll tell you what they're talking about. Hi, this is Debbie Georgette.
660 AM, The Answer.
Psst. Hey, it's me.
Hi, this is Debbie Georgette. Every week on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, two women join me in our second hour roundtable to talk about the issues and events of the day. They are part of a small group called the Leading Ladies. Each leading lady is a leader in some way in her life, but we're not supermodels who read teleprompters for cable TV stations. We are wives and moms with families and lots of responsibilities. But we've all become deeply concerned about America's direction and are earnest students of today's political world. We love our country and our liberty. We want to inspire more people to join the cause of speaking up for America. We hope you'll join us every week. We try to sort out the political doublespeak and get to the heart of the issues to make connections between today's issues and events and the preservation of America's unique greatness and exceptional place in the world. We always talk truth about America. Hi, this is Debbie Georgiadis. Every week on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, two women join me in our second hour roundtable to talk about the issues and events of the day. They are part of a small group called the Leading Ladies. Each leading lady is a leader in some way in her life, but we're not supermodels who read teleprompters for cable TV stations. We are wives and moms with families and lots of responsibilities, but we've all become deeply concerned about America's direction and are earnest students of today's political world. We love our country and our liberty. We want to inspire more people to join the cause of speaking up for America. We hope you'll join us every week. We try to sort out the political doublespeak and get to the heart of the issues to make connections between today's issues and events and the preservation of America's unique greatness and exceptional place in the world. We always talk truth about America.
Psst. Hey, it's me, your car. No, it's not the voice of your car phone or your GPS that gives you driving directions. I'm sorry to interrupt your tunes, but we need to talk. Take a look around. I'm not the new car I used to be. The season's dirt and mud really did a number on my carpet here. And that iced coffee you spilled, hoo-hoo, that didn't help. And with the rain showers and all, I know it's going to be a real mud bath in here. So do me a favor and get a set of WeatherTech floor liners. Got it? Now, how about a wash and detail? What do you say?
WeatherTech floor liners and cargo liners keep your vehicle's carpet safe from spills and messes. Made of the highest quality materials and laser measured, WeatherTech floor liners are specifically designed for your vehicle. And they're made in America. If it could talk, your vehicle would thank you. Order yours today at WeatherTech.com or call 1-800-CAR-MATS. WeatherTech. Complete protection. Completely American made.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
Can you hear us? And welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk? This is Debbie Georgiadis. We had in the last segment an interview with someone I just so highly respect, Kathleen Hartnett-White. She's with Texas Public Policy Foundation. And she can take the most complex data about fossil fuels, you know, how they're used, what they've accomplished, what they haven't done, and just present it. And so even I can follow it. Even you can follow it. But why I think you should order her book is because I think it's important in this upcoming, not just this presidential election cycle, but for you know, many years to come, we're going to be in a battle for in America. Should we just surrender to the UN agenda, which is trying to reduce use of fossil fuel, surrender to the left, make life more uncomfortable, or should we be able to defend the use of fossil fuels, defend the goodness they have brought to life, defend against the climate alarmist extremist lies? We need to be able to make those defenses in our daily life. And so I really appreciate Kathleen Hartnett-White. Okay, so I'll tell you that tonight in the studio, I have our son here who doesn't usually come here. Just in fact, I think it's the first time he's come here. And on the last break, he said, you didn't tell, he's an adult son, he happens to be home, it's Mother's Day. He said, you didn't say Happy Mother's Day. So I am so sorry. I'm a mother. All my leading ladies are mothers. And I wish everyone a Happy Mother's Day. It's one of the most important holidays of the year. Mothers are the most underpaid people, hard workers in America. But, you know, what the payments you really get is the joy of your kids being more or less coming out okay. You know, we're still wondering about the one here. No, just kidding. We love them all. Anyway, and so Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Okay, in this segment, you know, I want to be sure to go back to something we started out talking about, the election cycle. And there was a statement out by Donald Trump today or yesterday saying essentially that he doesn't really need the GOP to unify in order to win. That's what he said. He doesn't need the GOP to unify in order to win. And I go back to, we need to resist the temptation in America to unify around personality. We have to unify around ideas that are right. It really matters that we get that. And so no one, I've never seen a perfect presidential candidate who agrees with me on every single issue, or as they say, the only one who ever, I think, is always right is me. Not just kidding. But I do really think this is important to know. You can't get a perfect candidate, but you can have some principles that you expect your candidate to stand with. So this is a challenging time, because what Donald Trump's talking about is he thinks he can bring Democrat voters in, and I hope he can, the famous Reagan coalition. He can bring other voters in. But the advocacy for the ideas you stand for makes all the difference in the world. And this particular election cycle, There have been some, there's been some discussion because of the concern, and I've talked about this before and I'm going to say it again. The people who are concerned about Donald Trump winning the nomination or apparently winning the nomination, it is certainly people within the GOP establishment, but it is equally the conservatives. And this is what Donald Trump, and what I hope as a conservative, I would like to see is Donald Trump recognize the importance of conservative ideas, that with the GOP, how we distinguish ourselves as generally Republican voters is that we stand for things like limited government, actual limited government, get government out of our face, low taxes, low regulation. We have a structure in Washington that does not prop up the president as an executive order issuing quasi-king tyrant, that we actually want the separation of powers and the executive branch limited. I want to hear those kind of ideas out of him. So this leads to something I wanted to mention. There is talk among some actually prominent conservatives that perhaps what we should do, because so many conservatives are concerned about the fact that Donald Trump is apparently going to win the GOP nomination, that perhaps conservatives, because they don't see Donald Trump as a conservative, and I don't either. He won, by the way. Donald Trump is winning this nomination through just the most eclectic, odd. I mean, he's tapped into the anger of the GOP voting base against Obama and against the GOP in Washington, and he captured the right issues. He just touched a hot button, and people thought, wow, he's talking immigration. He's talking the danger of Islamic immigration to America. I love he's saying this. This is good. And so, and they were good things, but he tapped into some anger and then brought a whole lot of people with whom there's no commonality of ideas and values who are behind him. So an effort has emerged. There's been discussion by some serious conservatives that there should be another candidate thrown into this mix. And that would be, they had, and so people spoke about whether Mitt Romney, who actually, one person agitating for all this is William Kristol, and, you know, he's a longtime editor of the Weekly Standard magazine. He met with Romney this past week to say, essentially, can you run? Would you run? Would you stand up and run? And the idea is to just deny, that the idea is if you get somebody running as another Republican in this race, perhaps you can deny, and what they're getting around to is deny whether or not you can get, you could cause the Electoral College vote to not have enough votes for the majority. I mean, the way this election works, you have the primary, you have the convention, you pick your candidates, you have a general election, whoever the states all vote, and then every state has electors that actually go to the Electoral College, required by the Constitution, and the Electoral College actually elects the president. Well, in the Electoral College, if no one gets, under the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, if no one gets 270 votes in the Electoral College, then the entire choice of the president goes to the House of Representatives. And this is the extreme long shot that some people upset about Trump are saying, let's find somebody else. Let's make this a, make this a chaotic process. Let's deny anyone a victory at the Electoral College, because at least the House of Representatives won't pick Hillary because it's a Republican majority, and maybe they'll choose some conservative alternative. And I'm telling you, these are prominent, thoughtful conservatives laying out these kinds of ideas. And I want to just weigh in and say this. I don't think it's a good idea to cause chaos for the sake of chaos, for the sake of messing with the people. I think the people, the primary voters who voted for Donald Trump, feel like they've fair and square, they've won the nomination, he won it, and he should, and everyone should get behind him. But I do think that if you're a serious thinker, a serious patriot, you just don't salute to the voters and you just don't salute to the GOP. You're allowed to think for yourself. And if your opposition to Donald Trump is serious and substantive and principled, you know, I don't have a problem with these people trying this, because I will say this is not even one in a million shot this could happen, because we're so late in the process, because all these other states have voted for somebody. I think a lot of folks would be upset the idea that somehow that we had two parties for so long. So we have Donald Trump as a GOP nominee and Hillary as a Dem. And so these people are playing with the process. On the other hand, I want to really pose this question and really encourage you to think about it. Could there ever be a candidate who wins the primary on the GOP side who's so far off track, so far off base that the GOP be hurt by backing that person? Could there ever, is there anything? What if someone who, David Duke, some evil, you know, Klansman type, won the GOP nomination? Not only would I not support him, and I wouldn't support the GOP, I'd be part of any active effort to thwart his nomination, to thwart him getting to the presidency. And I think if some people don't have a clear sense of who Donald Trump is, what he stands for, what he's all about, then, you know, they're saying, look, this is crazy enough. I want to float the idea of getting a conservative in there. Now, I'm not advocating this, and I say it's about a one in a million shot. And I believe at the meeting between Mitt Romney and William Crystal this past week, Mitt Romney said no. He said, I'm not going to do that. You know, he's been very ardently anti-Trump. And so, and I think that's probably the right answer. But I don't think we should, as thoughtful, serious, patriotic conservatives, we don't have to just salute to the GOP, and we don't have to salute, especially in a campaign, going back to my point in the first segment, where so much dishonesty prevailed and came out of the mouth of the candidate who is apparently going to win the GOP nomination. If you spent your time in this campaign listening to all the lies, you know, you could say this guy, I mean, you know, I think that, and in fact, I'll tell you, we have good, serious conservative friends who live in California who'd called and they're saying to, asking my husband and me, we're on the speakerphone talking to a friend. He said, well, Ted Cruz is a bad guy. He's a liar because Donald Trump said he's a liar. We're like, oh, Donald Trump says a lot of stuff that isn't true. And so we had to go through and point out what really was happening and how, you know, Ted Cruz had been the crusader for conservatism. He'd gone to the Senate. He stood up for what he was supposed to do. He made other senators mad because he exposed the fact that they weren't really willing to fight like he was willing to fight. The point is, I think Donald Trump got a lot of support by dishonest characterization of Senator Cruz. So, you know, it does matter at some point. What is the moral character of the candidate who's going to emerge with the R next to his name after the convention? In this case, I will say, I think Donald Trump, on the positive, he has some positive things about his campaign, some positive things about his mission. I like his idea of saying we're going to halt Islamic immigration to America until we can vet them in a way that keeps us safe. I think that was reasonable. But I do think much of what he said and stands for and does is alarming to a lot of people. And it's not unpatriotic to say, I demand better of our process. So I'm not obviously kind of talking to both sides of the issue. I think it'd be interesting to watch over the next few months. Will Donald Trump stand up and step up on some serious conservative issues? What is he going to say? He has to earn our vote and wade into the calculation of whether or not to vote for him or not, especially if you live in a swing state, is what is the danger if we don't step up for him? What does Hillary Clinton then do to us? Okay, we are heading off to our break. I want to tell you about the second hour of this show. Every week I have two leading ladies joining me. This week I have Mari Sullivan and Dorinda Randall. I call them leading ladies because they are conservative leaders. They're my friends, but they're speakers, writers, thinkers, activists. They're all unique. They're empowering examples of conservative women today. Together, we decode political talk. We hash out headlines from foreign policy to domestic issues. We scout out the political landscape. We all embrace the unique power of women, inform women to shape the American political conversation. We're pro-woman, pro-America, pro-family, and we talk truth about America. Come back after the break for our second hour of Ladies Can We Talk.
AM, The Answer.
AM, the